A picturesque alpine lake surrounded by a snow-capped mountain range. At dusk, swirling stars settle in a circle around its tall peak. Paramount, a Gulf and Western company. Paramount Pictures presents an Eddie Murphy production. A Landis Fulci film. Eddie Murphy. Coming to America. Arsenio Hall. James Earl Jones. John Amos. Madge Sinclair. Shari Headley. Paul Bates, Eric LaSalle, Frankie Faison. Vanessa Bell, Louis Anderson, Alison Dean. Sheila Johnson, Jake Steinfeld, Calvin Lockhart, Samuel L. Jackson. Casting by Jackie Birch. Associate producer, David Sosner. Music score by Niall Rogers. Costume designer, Deborah Nadulman. Special makeup by Rick Baker. Edited by Malcolm Campbell, George Fulci Jr. Production designer, Richard McDonald. Director of Photography, Woody Omens, ASC. Executive producers, Mark Lipsky and Leslie Belsberg. Story by Eddie Murphy. Screenplay by David Sheffield and Barry W. Blaustein. Produced by George Fulci Jr. and Robert D. Wax. Directed by John Landis. An ornate palace is set amongst a lush forest terrain with a mountainous backdrop. Inside, a guard opens the door and salutes to the prince's aide. The aide enters a bedroom, opens a cupboard housing a stereo system, checks his watch, and then gives a signal to the gathered musicians situated on an internal first floor balcony to start playing. The prince lies asleep in a bed with pink satin sheets. His aide dutifully stands by his side. At the foot of the bed stand three beautiful rose petal bearers in revealing tribal dress. Slowly the prince wakes from his slumber.
Good morning, Your Highness.
Good morning, Your Highness.
Good morning, Your Highness.
Happy birthday, Your Highness.
Yes, it is my birthday.
The aide presents the prince with his slippers. Another servant helps him on with his robe. The prince nods to his aide, who leads the rose bearers out of the room. They scatter petals, creating a path for the prince, who follows on behind. Servants slide open glass-stained double doors, revealing an elaborate bathroom with a sunken pool. Behind a door, a toilet's positioned on a plinth like a throne. The prince nods again at Oha, his aide.
Oha! It is my 21st birthday. Do you think perhaps just once I might use the bathroom by myself?
Most amusing, sir. Wipers!
The prince bathes in a large, circular, sunken pool. A female topless wiper gently sponges his back. Another stands naked on the side of the pool, and from underneath the water appears a third wiper.
The royal penis is clean, Your Highness.
The prince, flanked by the rose bearers, stands before a mirror. A servant brushes his teeth for him, wipes his mouth with a towel, and then hands him a glass of water to rinse with. Tipping his head back, he gargles. The servant assists by massaging his throat. Ohar claps, signalling for another set of large double doors to be opened, behind which a collection of servants wait with the prince's clothes. The rose bearers lead the way down a long marble corridor, dropping their petals as they go. The prince is dressed and ready for the day.
His Highness must be very excited today.
Why is that, Ohar?
Today is your 21st birthday. Means you meet your wife-to-be.
Well, I'm curious, but how can a man get excited about a woman he's never seen?
In a large banqueting suite with a high domed ceiling, a long dining table dominates the room. An elaborate chandelier hangs from the center of the space. Tropical foliage matching the local landscape is painted on the walls. The prince sits at one end of the table, the king and queen at the other. An abundance of large table displays obscure their vision of one another. The king and queen peer around the displays to see their son at the far end of the table, looking despondent. The food is tasted before it is served, and the drinks are poured. The king uses an intercom system to be heard.
He certainly is quiet this morning.
He looks sad.
Is something troubling you, my son?
No, father.
Son, please. I am more than the exalted ruler of this land and the master of all I survey. I'm also a concerned dad.
Well, father. Just a moment.
What is he doing?
It looks as if he's coming down here to talk to us.
Wait right there, Akeem. Rose bearers!
Akeem, come sit.
Now, my son. You've grown a mustache.
Joffy, it has been a year.
So, what is it, my son?
Well, father, first of all, it is things like this.
Like what?
The rose petals.
What is the matter, dear? You are the son of a king. Why should you not walk on the petals of roses?
Ah, but mother, if there were no rose petals, I would still be the son of a king.
Then it is settled. From this day forth, anyone who throws roses at my son's feet will answer to me.
Father, it is not just that, it's everything. The cooking, the pampering, the dressing, the bathing. Actually, I'd rather enjoy the bathing, but just for once, I would like to cook for myself and take care of myself, dress myself, wipe my own backside. And why? Why can't I find my own wife?
Aha! So that's it. We've gone to a great deal of trouble to select for you a very fine wife. Since the day she was born, she was taught to walk and speak and think as a queen.
But, father, what if I do not love her?
It is normal to feel anxiety about meeting your queen.
When I first met your father, I was terrified.
I must admit, I was frightened too.
I was so nervous, I became nauseous. But over the years, I have grown to love your father very much.
So, you see, my son, there is a very fine line between love and nausea.
I understand, father. But when I marry, I want the woman to love me for who I am, not because of what I am.
And who are you?
I am a man who has never tied his own shoes before.
Wrong. You are a prince who has never tied his shoes. Believe me, I tied my own shoes once. It is an overrated experience.
Good morning, Your Majesty. It is another beautiful day in Zamunda.
And, Simi, what is it now?
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
Is that so, Semi?
Yes. I was just remarking to my mother the other day what lovely skin the queen has.
Semi, do you not have somewhere you should go?
Yes. I was just about to take the birthday boy for his daily workout.
Excuse me, father. And mother.
Have a good day, my son.
Yes.
Akeem, what happened to the rose bearers?
In a gym.
Now let's see if you can defend yourself, you sweat from a baboon's balls.
Semi challenges Prince Akeem. He starts to twirl a long wooden combat pole.
So you say you can have a woman who'll obey your every command,
but you'd rather have a woman who has an opinion?
Only dogs are to obey. If you truly love your wife, you will value her opinion.
Hippopotamus shit! You're the heir to the throne of Zamunda. Your wife need only have a pretty face, a firm backside, and big breasts like cassava melon.
Semi knocks Akeem's pole from his hands. In a bid to escape, the prince backflips away from him. Akeem skillfully grabs Semi's weapon and uses it to pin him to the ground.
So you would share your bed and your fortune with a beautiful fool?
That is the way it has always been with men of power. It is tradition.
It is also tradition that times must and always do change, my friend.
Behind the palace turrets, fireworks light up the dark night sky. Guests gather to enjoy the display.
Get the Run Against Me t-shirt! Run Against Me t-shirt! Step one, step out, get your Run Against Me t-shirt!
The guests are smartly dressed in colorful robes and matching hats. Entering the palace via a flight of marble stairs, they reach a long corridor full of arches which lead to a grand hall. Inside, the king sits on his throne wearing his crown, with the queen, his son, and the royal courtiers by his side.
Yes, thank you.
Rare vintage.
Your Majesty, I am Colonel Izzy, and today, with your blessing, I offer my daughter to your son.
My blessing is granted. Let the courtship commence.
Pardon me. Step aside, please. Coming through. Excuse me. Out of the way!
The prince is alarmed by the large woman who stands before him.
Greetings, great prince. Presenting Miss Amani Azee.
He lets out a huge sigh of relief. The guests part, allowing the tribal dancers to pass through them. Intrigued, the prince watches the high-energy, scantily dressed male and female tribal dancers as they somersault into the hall. They wear brightly coloured beaded bikinis with plumes of feathers in their hair and on their ears. Lining up in front of the stage, the routine begins. Moving in unison, they twist and turn as one. Individual dancers do somersaults and backflips. The royal family and their guests enjoy the entertainment. The male dancers of the troupe separate out from the females, coming to the front of the performing areas, shaking their bodies to the rhythm of the music. The king looks approvingly across to the queen and to his son. Prince Akeem stands proud in his suit and bow tie, with an animal skin draped across his shoulder. The dancers regroup, and en masse they dance as one, travelling the length of the large hall towards the royal family. Collectively, they gyrate their athletic bodies to the music. The performers divide into two groups for the finale of the piece. Leaping into the air, they land face down onto the ground. The dancers and position creates a path for Akeem's bride-to-be to walk down. She is a stunning black lady dressed in a spectacular full-length sparkling gold dress with a long train. Oha starts to sing as she approaches the throne.
She's your queen to be, a queen to be forever, a queen who'll do whatever His Highness desires. She's your queen to be, a vision of perfection, an object of affection to quench your royal fire. Completely free from infection, to be used at your discretion, waiting only for your direction, your queen to be.
Akeem leaves the royal group and goes over to her. He bows to her father, who stands by her side.
May I talk to you alone for a moment, please?
The king becomes suspicious.
Excuse us for a moment.
He leads her away to an adjoining room. The guests become restless and start to whisper. Akeem opens the door and shows her into the room. He waits a further few seconds for her long train to follow her in, and then closes the door behind them.
So,
am I not all you dreamed I would be?
Oh, you're fine. Beautiful. It's just that if we're going to be married, I thought we should talk to each other, get to know each other.
Ever since I was born, I've been trained to serve you.
Yes, I know this. But I would like to know about you. What do you like to do?
Whatever you like.
What kind of music do you like?
Whatever kind of music you like.
Look, I know what I like. And I know you know what I like because you were trained to know what I like. But I would like to know what you like. For instance, do you have a favorite food?
Yes.
Good! What is your favorite food?
Whatever food you like.
This is impossible. Listen, from this moment on, I command you not to obey me.
No.
Are you saying that no matter what I tell you to do, you will do?
Yes, Your Highness.
Anything I say, you do?
Yes, Your Highness.
Bark like a dog.
Arf! 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 Arf!
A big dog.
Woof! 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 Woof!
Hop on one leg.
Woof! 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 Woof, woof, woof.
Make a noise like an orangutan.
Ah! I see the two of you are getting along.
Excuse me, Imani, for a moment.
Fine girl, isn't she? I told you not to worry.
Father. About this wedding.
The guests are waiting, Your Majesty.
Let them wait! I'm talking to my son. Come, let's go for a stroll.
In the palace garden, zebra and elephants roam free.
Hello, Babar.
Time does fly fast, my son. It seems only yesterday I ordered your first diaper changed, and now you're a man who's about to be married. She will give you much pleasure, don't you think?
I am not sure if I am ready.
Son, I know we never had to talk about this, but I always assumed that you had sex with your bathers. I know I do.
It's not that, Father. It's just that I'm 21 years old, and I have never left Zamunda. I have yet to experience what the outside world has to offer.
Ah, so you want to sow your royal oats?
No, it's not that. It's...
You're right! Get out, see the world, enjoy yourself, fulfill every erotic desire, and in 40 days, you will come back and marry Imani.
But, Father...
It is settled.
The king returns to address the patiently waiting guests inside the palace.
May I have your attention, please? The wedding will proceed in 40 days. You may go home now. Good night. Oha, prepare the royal baggage. My son is going on a trip. Prepare the royal baggage!
This trip is an excellent idea.
40 days of fornication. Simi, I have something else in mind. Tell no one of this. I intend to find my bride.
What is wrong with the one you have now? When you saw her, tell me you did not want to rip her clothes off right then and there.
I want a woman that's going to arouse my intellect as well as my loins.
Where will you find such a woman?
In America.
They study a globe and a map.
The land is so big. The choice is so infinite. Where shall we go? Los Angeles or New York?
We will let fate decide. Heads New York, tails Los Angeles. We go to New York.
But where in New York can one find a woman with grace, elegance, taste, and culture? A woman suitable for a king.
Queens.
Akeem and Semi travel to America on Concorde. In the airport terminal building, a Stars and Stripes flag hangs high above their heads.
Osnowitz, Mr. Frank Osnowitz, please pick up a white courtesy telephone.
Remember, Simi, no one here can know I am royalty. You must appear to be no different than the average man.
I will not say a word.
British Airways flight 929 to London is now boarding.
The two men are dressed in their royal regalia, followed by an entourage of servants transporting their vast quantities of luggage. Akeem stands in the middle of the road.
Halt! You dumb fuck!
Take us to Queens at once.
Are you sure you guys want to go to Queens? A couple rich fellas like you should be in Manhattan. This ain't the Waldorf, but a palace.
The palace sounds good. Take us there.
No, I want Queens. And we're not rich. We're ordinary African students. Whatever you say, pal. What part of Queens you want?
Take us to the most common part.
That's easy. There's one thing Queens has got a lot of. It's common parts.
What does dumb fuck mean?
Snow lines the city streets as they arrive in a rundown area of Queens. The taxi, laden with all the luggage piled high on its roof and spilling out of the boot, slowly pulls up outside a tatty-looking apartment block. Akeem stares out of the window, thrilled with the location.
Is she enough for you?
Yes, this is perfect.
Akeem steps out of the taxi and marvels at the surroundings. Graffiti adorns walls, and windows are boarded up on buildings that have been left to fall into a state of disrepair. Sem is horrified at what he sees. Homeless people stand around a fire lit within a barrel, trying to keep warm. They watch the two men's arrival with curiosity. A man throws his rubbish out of a window to the street below. Akeem goes over to take a look at it.
Fascinating! Simi! Look at this! America is great indeed. Imagine a country so free, one can throw glass on the streets.
You must be out of your goddamn mind!
listen. Real Americans.
Pound for pound, Sugar Ray Robinson, the greatest fighter ever lived.
Oh, come on, man. What about Joe Louis?
The Blonde Bomber. Now, that was a great boxer.
You damn right.
I suppose nobody in here ever heard of Cassius Clay.
You got a point. Cassius Clay was a bad motherfucker.
Hey, I ain't saying Clay ain't bad. I'm just saying I stopped liking Cassius Clay once he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. What kind of shit is that?
Wait a second. Wait a second. A man has the right to change his name to whatever he wants to change it to. And if a man wants to be called Muhammad Ali, God damn it, this is a free country. You should respect his wishes and call the man Muhammad Ali.
His mama named Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I say Clay.
Get out of here.
That's right. That's right. He can always be Clay to me. I don't give a fuck what he changed name to. He is Clay. He Clay to me. I say Clay.
Well, then you're a putz. The three of you. Three putzes. You should change the name outside from Mighty Sharp to the Three Putzes.
I want to see a fight.
Okay, now what the fuck do you want?
We desire a room.
But you better not be wasting my time. You got money? Come on in, gentlemen.
As they enter the apartment, locals steal their luggage, which has been left on the pavement outside.
Excuse me if I was brusque, but sometimes we get boo-boos in here without a dollar to their name. But obviously you gentlemen came in on another boat.
We seek meager accommodations.
Excuse me?
We require a room that is very poor.
A man falls down the stairs.
Hey, Stu! Your rent's due, motherfucker! And don't be pulling that falling down the stairs shit on me, you hear? Are you conscious? Shoot, I'm not the same
damn thing. The landlord leads Akeem and Semi upstairs, stepping over the man as they go.
All right, here we are. One bathroom on this floor, so you're gonna have to share it. A little bit of an insect problem, but you boys from Africa, you're used to that. And another thing, don't use the elevator, it's a death trap. Now, this is the place that I was telling you about. It's real fucked up. Got just one window facing a brick wall. Used to rent it to a blind man.
Inside the room, a rat scuttles across the littered wooden floorboards. Blood is smeared across the walls.
Damn shame what they did to that dog.
The positions of the murdered man and his dog have been chalked on the floor by the police.
We will take the room. Yes.
A view across the Queen's skyline on a grey and dreary winter's day. Akeem stands on a fire escape platform admiring the view. Semi watches him from an open window.
Behold, Semi! Life! Real life! A thing that we have been denied for far too long! Good morning, my neighbors!
Hey, fuck you!
Yes! Yes! Fuck you, too!
Akeem and Semi leave the apartment block to go for a walk. After a short distance, they notice that the locals are wearing their stolen clothes.
I'm beginning to suspect that these are the people that have stolen our luggage.
A small child passes them on a skateboard wearing an oversized hat and a maroon jacket trimmed with gold embroidery.
Yo, you want to buy some toothbrushes, man? This is some real fly personal hygiene equipment I got here, man. And I got a hell of a hair dryer over here, too. Check it out.
Faith! Stop! Thief! Come back! Thief!
Semi, let him go.
But those things belong to us.
Yeah, we're well rid of those material things. Let them wear our princely robes. We're in New York now. Let us dress as New Yorkers.
They wear bomber jackets with I Love New York badges, jeans, and baseball hats.
I feel like a complete idiot.
Oh, do not be ridiculous.
They watch a hair commercial on TVs in a shop window.
All the things you've always wanted to be. Beautiful, sexy, 1, 2, 3.
Just let your soul go!
Just let it shine through. Just let yourself, oh, baby, feeling oh so silky smooth. Just let it shine through. Yeah. Just let yourself glow.
So glow. Perhaps I should cut off my prince's luck.
No.
Yes.
You must be out of your goddamn mind. Joe Louis, the greatest boxer ever lived. I'll be with you boys in a minute. He was bad in Patrick Clay. He bad in Sugar Ray. He bad in that, who that, you, the new boy had, Mike Tyson, looked like a bulldog. He bad in him, too. He whipped Mike Tyson's ass. He whipped all their asses.
What about Rocky Marciano?
Oh, there they go. There they go. Every time I start talking about boxing, a white man got to pull Rocky Marciano out their ass. That's the one. That's day one. Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano. Let me tell you something wonderful. Rocky Marciano was good. But compared to Joe Louis, Rocky Marciano ain't shit.
He beat Joe Louis's ass.
That's right. He did whoop Joe Louis' ass. Joe Louis was 75 years old when he fought.
I don't know how old he was, but he got an ass whooped.
Joe Louis had come out of retirement to fight Rocky Marciano. The man was 76 years old. Joe Louis always lied about his age. He lied about his age all the time. One time, Frank Sinatra comes out here and sat down in this chair. And I said, Frank, you hang out with Joe Louis just between me and you. How old is Joe Louis? You know what Frank told me? He said, hey, Joe Louis 137 years old. 137 years old.
Oh, man, you ain't never meet no Frank Sinatra.
Fuck you! Fuck you and fuck you!
Who's next?
Akeem takes a seat in the barber's chair. The barber takes off his baseball cap and looks at the ponytail growing from the nape of his neck.
God damn, boy, what's that, some kind of weave or something?
It is my natural hair. I have been growing it since birth.
Well, shit, what kind of chemical you got in there?
I have put no chemicals, only juices and berries.
Shit, that ain't nothing but ultra-perm. Tell me how you want me to cut this.
Just make it nice and neat.
That'll be $8.
Semi walks over to Akeem to take a closer look. Akeem studies his reflection in the mirror and feels around the back of his head to where the ponytail used to be.
Tell me, Semi, honestly, how do I look?
I think it is time to find your queen.
Akeem and Semi are in a nightclub admiring all the beautiful ladies. Walking the length of the dance floor, Akeem spots an attractive woman drinking alone at a table and decides to join her.
I've got a secret. I worship the devil.
They progress onto other possible female candidates.
See, that's the problem. I can't find a man that can satisfy me. Now, some guys go hour and a half, that's it. A man's got to put in overtime for me to get off.
I'm not interested in a man unless he drives a BMW.
Yeah, well, you know, baby, I'm almost single. My husband's on death row.
This is the first date Teresa and I have been on since the doctor separated us.
I'm into the group thing.
I was Joan of Arc in my former life.
My name is Jesus, and I'm the best all the DJs want to feel my breast.
Yeah, I want to work in videos, but really I want to be my own star in the videos because I want to become a pop singer and a rock singer and write my own songs, produce my own songs. And then I'm going to try an actress because people tell me how talented I am. I'm a natural and stuff like that. So then I'm going to write my own stories and direct my own stories and, you know, and produce the movies I'm doing.
A man in drag sips seductively at a cocktail and then sidles up next to Akeem. Semi looks on horrified.
I hope you don't mind me coming over and sitting down. But I've been watching you all evening, and I want to tear you apart. And your friend, too.
The two men walk home. They come across the barber.
Is it my imagination? Or does every woman in New York have a severe emotional problem?
I doubt we will ever find your queen.
Mr. Clarence.
Hey, the boys from Africa. How y'all doing this evening?
Sir, where can one go to find nice women here?
Oh, you got to get out and look. They ain't gonna just fall in your lap.
We have been to every bar in Queens.
Well, that's where you messed up, son. You can't go to no bar to find a nice woman. You got to go to a nice place, a quiet place like a library. There's a good woman there. And at church, there's good girls. Or this place here, where I'm going tonight, the Black Awareness Rally, it's gonna be some fine women there. Good, good, clean girls. That's where I'm going, shit.
In a church, Miss Black Awareness contestants line up in bikinis on the stage.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today. But you know, when I look at these contestants for the Miss Black Awareness pageant, I feel good. I feel good because I know there's a God somewhere. There's a God somewhere. Turn around, ladies, for me, please. You know there's a God who sits on high and looks down low. Man cannot make it like this. Larry Flint, Hugh Hefner, they can take the picture, but they can't make it. Only God above, the Hugh Hefner on high, can make it for you. If you
need... Apparently, these are the best women Queens has to offer. Pick one and let's go home.
You can call his name.
Be patient, my
Lord,
friend.
Lord, Lord, do you love him? Do you feel joy? Say joy.
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 Joy! Joy!
Can I get an amen?
Amen! Amen!
Don't be ashamed to call his name.
Yes, Lord!
Only God can give that woman the kind of joy she has right there. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Joy!
I am very happy to be here.
Amen!
Amen!
Amen. Yes, sir! Can I get an amen? Yes! I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the name. Lord, Lord. Girls, you can leave now. Thank you very much. There's a God somewhere. I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy Watson. Yes, Randy Watson.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
And Reverend Brown. 3 years for the Reverend. This man's been my Reverend since I was a little boy, and I love him dearly. You're a very special man. Reverend Brown. Reverend Brown. It feels so lovely to be here tonight. What a beautiful audience. Give yourselves a round of applause. You're so lovely. Everyone's so lovely. And while you're in the clapping mood, I'd like to give a big round of applause to my band, Sexual Chocolate. Sexual Chocolate. They play so fine, don't you agree?
I believe the children are our future.
Thank you.
Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride. Make it easier.
Some of the good stuff, right? Coming up.
Want a Coke? Join the show?
Enjoy, young man.
I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, you can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all is inside of me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sexy Chocolate!
Must be crazy.
He good.
Must be crazy.
Randy Watson leaves the stage to a deafening silence. Reverend Brown returns to address the congregation.
Put your hands together for Mr. Randy Watson. Yeah, one more time. Randy Watson, how about it? Before we go any further, I'd like to thank Mr. Cleo McDowell, who's responsible for all the fine food and beverages you've been consuming tonight. Cleo, I know you're proud of your lovely daughter. We are too. Please welcome one of the organizers of tonight's festivities, Miss Lisa McDowell. Lisa, come on up here, baby girl.
Try to work in a plug for the new salad bar.
Daddy, I'm not mentioning the restaurant.
Well, at least give him the address.
Girl, you look so good, somebody ought to put you on a plate and sop you up with a biscuit.
You know, Black Awareness Week is an opportunity for self-expression.
May we leave now?
Just moments ago, Randy attempted to express himself through song. In his own unique way, but the song makes a good point. The children are our future. And that's why it's up to all of us to provide a place where children can express themselves. We need to rebuild Lincoln Park. Now, ushers are passing through the aisles with donation baskets, so please, give all you can. Now, we're happy to get the kind of money that jingles, but we'd rather get the kind that folds.
The donation baskets are handed along the pews. The barber and his friends.
Donations! Donations!
I thought it was a trash. Don't be hitting on me.
Put some money in,
stupid ass. I whoop your ass, Clarence. Oh, come on,
man.
Watch
it.
You tall black motherfucker.
There's women up inside.
I don't give a fuck about
them.
Ain't nobody give me
nothing.
Ain't
nothing going on.
Come on, watch
it. Akeem stares open mouth at Lisa on the stage. Semi hands over a wad of money for Akeem to put in the basket.
Thank you.
She is wonderful.
Akeem.
Shh. You can see Lisa and Mr. McDowell and McDowell's restaurant, 8507 Queens Boulevard.
Now you 8507 heard Queens Boulevard.
Outside McDowell's, a restaurant architecturally designed in the same style as McDonald's.
All right, fellas. Now, your first job every morning will be to sweep this walkway. Then, I want you to wash all the windows. Real good, too. And don't leave no streaks.
A photographer takes photos of the restaurant.
Hey. Hey. What are you doing? Get the hell out of here before I bust that camera! Look, me and the McDonald's people, we got this little misunderstanding, See, they're McDonald's. I'm McDowell's, They got the golden arches. Mine is the golden arcs. Now, see, they got the Big Mac. I got the Big Mick. We both got two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, and onions. But they use a sesame seed bun. My buns have no seeds. I got it. Now, you got to mop the food prep area twice a day. You know how to mop.
Oh, yes, of course.
All right. There you go.
A smiling Akeem has no idea how to mop the floor. He pushes the mop around without removing it from the wheeled bucket.
Don't use the bucket. It'll just confuse you. Now, when you get through here, you take out the trash.
Yes.
Come with me. I got an easy job for you.
Akeem is dressed in the McDowell red tartan uniform, complete with matching bow tie and beret. Enthusiastically, he gets to work mopping the floors. He cleans the corridor outside Lisa's office, who is hard at work on her computer. Having mopped the floor several times outside Lisa's office, he finally plucks up the courage to go and talk to her.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I am Akeem.
It's nice to meet you, Akeem.
I have recently been placed in charge of garbage. Do you have any that requires disposal?
No, it's totally empty.
Well, when it fills up, don't be afraid to call me. I'll come take it out most urgently.
That's good to know.
When you think of garbage, think of Akeem. Well, I have to get back to my sanitation duties. Maybe we'll have a chance again to talk on a professional level.
Goodbye, Akeem.
Akeem continues to mop as he retreats from Lisa's office. She smiles to herself as she watches him leave. Outside McDowell's restaurant, cars whistle past on a multi-lane freeway. A red sports car pulls into the car park. A handsome young black man wearing dark shades is behind the wheel. Before entering the restaurant, he sprays Soul Glow onto his hair, smooths out his moustache, then checks his reflection in the wing mirror.
Cleo.
Hey, you're looking sharp, kid. Hey, how about a mixed shake? I believe strawberry's your favorite.
Straw.
Lisa's in the back. She's waiting for you. Come on. So, how's everything over at Soul Glow?
Fine. You know, our home weave products are really taking off.
Good.
By the way, Dad isn't using the company tickets to the Jets game, and I thought you might enjoy them.
Oh, Daryl, that's very considerate of you. Thank you. Lisa, look who's here, honey.
Hi.
You two kids have a good time here.
Ready?
Sure. Listen, I want to ask you something. The other day at the rally, somebody stuffed a large amount of cash into one of the collection boxes. You wouldn't happen to know who that was, would you?
Well, I,
I thought it was you!
You know me. Anything for the kids.
Akeem and Semi empty bins outside the restaurant.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Oh, before I forget, I got us 4 tickets to the St. John's game. Maybe your sister want to bring somebody.
Great.
Hey, take care of this for me, will you?
Daryl throws his milkshake at Akeem. It spills out of the carton, going all over his uniform. At the barber's.
Excuse me.
Hey, it's Kunter Kinte!
What can I do with you, boy?
Can you make my hair look like this?
Man, what you want to make your hair look like that for? Well, I like the way you wear your hair. Wear it natural. That's good, man. You know, I wish more of the young children today would wear their hair natural like Dr. Martin Luther King did. That's right. You ain't never seen Dr. Martin Luther King with no mess of jerry curl on his head. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Dr. King ain't come walk around like that. You know, sweet, I met Dr. Martin Luther King once.
And you lying. You ain't never met Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I met Dr. Martin Luther King in 1962 in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm walking down the street, minding my own business, just walking off, feeling good. I walk around the corner, man woke up, hit me in my chest, right? I fall on the ground, right? And I look up, and Dr. Martin Luther King, I said, Dr. King! He said, oops, I thought you were somebody else.
Oh, man, you lying. You ain't never met Martin Luther the King.
Knocked the wind out of me. Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not.
Hey, boy, why are you so worried about how you look anyway?
Well, I am trying to gain the interest of a certain young lady.
I ain't never heard no woman giving no man no love just because his hair look good.
That's right.
Is this American Girl?
Yes.
You got to go through a papa. See, that's a big misconception. People don't know that about American women. Ain't got nothing to do with your hair or your pocket. You get in good with American woman's father, you in good with her. Ain't that right?
He ain't lying.
That's right. You get in good with the father, you home free.
Mm-hmm. Home free.
Like a bird.
Mop and bucket in hand, Akeem approaches Mr. McDowell in his office.
Mr. McDowell.
What is it?
Sir, I was wondering, did you happen to catch the professional football contest on television last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was most exhilarating. The Giants of New York took on the Packers of Green Bay. And in the end, the Giants triumphed by kicking an oblong ball made of pigskin through a big H. It was a most ripping victory.
Son, I'm just gonna tell you this one time.
Yes.
You want to keep working here, stay off the drugs.
Yes.
Akeem refills the straw container on the food counter.
I don't know how it is in Africa, but here rich guys get all the chicks.
They watch Lisa and Daryl through the window.
Yes, he must work very hard.
The Prince of Soul Glow work hard? No way. He lives off his father's invention. He could buy her anything he wants. How are you going to compete with that?
At home, Lisa sits with her feet up on a large blue sofa, reading a magazine. A small white dog sits by her side. Lisa's sister Patrice dances vigorously around the lounge. As she rolls her body sexily to the music, the two sisters smile at one another.
I'll get it!
Patrice, wearing a mustard-coloured top and leopard-skin miniskirt, dances her way to the front door.
Delivery for Miss Lisa McDowell.
I'll take it. I'm her sister.
Would you sign here, please?
She returns to the lounge carrying a small white bag. Sitting down next to her sister, she starts to open it.
Something for you. Do you mind if I open it? Whoa. Think they're real?
They couldn't be.
From an admirer, not Daryl. Somebody's messing around.
I am not.
I don't care how much a man admires you. He's not gonna give you earrings like that unless you're giving him a little booty.
Not everybody thinks like you, Patrice.
Yes, they do. They just don't admit it.
Amazed, she stares at the stunning ruby and diamond droplet earrings. Akeem and Semi clean windows at the restaurant.
Do you realize I have not had sex since we got to America?
Simi, look. There she is. I'm going to talk to her.
Good. Tell her you sent her the $500,000 pair of earrings, then she will fall into your arms and we can leave this godforsaken place.
Oh, no, I cannot do that.
Do something.
Do not worry, I have a plan.
What are you going to do, mop your way into her heart?
That is not fair.
What's not fair is me doing manual labor.
Oh.
I'm badly in need of a manicure.
Oh, listen to you. I am badly in need of a manicure. Are you going to say something?
The sisters sit at a table having a drink.
Hey, Akeem.
Yes?
This is my sister, Patrice.
Hello, how are you?
Hi. Akeem's from Africa. What you doing in New York?
I'm a student.
What school are you going to?
I go to the university.
Which one?
The University of the United States.
I never heard of that.
Well, it's a very small university. We do not even have a basketball team.
Really? We got an extra ticket for the St. John's game tomorrow. Want to come?
Lisa gives Akeem a reassuring nod.
Yes.
Good. You can double date with me and Daryl.
Akeem gives Patrice a cheesy grin. Later, at an indoor stadium, the two couples watch the basketball match together.
In the face, right? I like this.
Isn't that better?
Yes, thank you very much.
Akeem lays his coat across his lap. Patrice slides her hand underneath it and stares at him with her big brown doe eyes. Akeem is shocked.
Wearing clothes must be a new experience for you.
Are you able to follow the game, Akeem?
Oh, yes! I'm following the game quite well.
What kind of games do y'all play in Africa? Chase the monkey?
No, we play football. I believe you call it soccer!
Oh, yeah, right. Soccer. Well, that's a real cute sport. Especially the way y'all bounce that ball off your heads. You know, personally, I don't like any sport where you don't use your hands.
Yes! Yes!
What are you doing? It's just a halftime.
Yes, this is my favorite part of the game. Will you excuse me for a moment, please? Excuse me. I'll be back in a minute.
Akeem maneuvers past Lisa and Daryl, holding his jacket in front of his crutch. Outside the gents, he stands in a long queue when a man selling drinks walks past.
Oh, my goodness! Oh, my goodness! It is you! I cannot believe it! Oh! Greetings, Your Highness!
Please, please stop bowing, please.
I am a loyal citizen of Zamunda.
Yes, but you're going to spill your beverages.
This is the greatest day of my life.
Yes, it was very nice meeting you two. Excuse me.
Come on, Kathy.
Please. May I just have my picture taken with you?
Bemused, Lisa and Daryl see an uncomfortable Akeem having his photograph taken.
I will cherish this experience for the rest of my life.
The two young lads take it in turn to shake Akeem's hand, bowing repeatedly as they do so.
The rest of my life.
Who was that?
Just the man I met in the restroom.
Lisa and Daryl look at each other with raised eyebrows. At the restaurant, Daryl holds Lisa's hands across a table.
Sweetheart, why don't you quit this job?
Because I like it here.
Yeah, but you're my lady. My lady doesn't have to work. I'll take care of you. I'll get you anything you want. What can I get you?
Nothing.
I'll get you some coffee.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
He gets up to go to the counter. Akeem, who is mopping the restaurant floor, seizes his opportunity to speak to Lisa.
Hey, Akeem. So, did you have a good time at the game?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
I hope Daryl didn't offend you. Sometimes he can be pretty obnoxious.
Well, he cannot help it.
Sit down. Take a break for a minute.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you're a very unusual guy. I've never seen anybody take so much pride in mopping a floor.
He who would learn to fly one day must first learn to stand and walk. One cannot fly into flying. That is not mine. That is Nietzsche's.
See, that's what I mean. Most of the guys who work here don't go around quoting Nietzsche.
A bearded black man menacingly marches into the restaurant.
All right, everybody shut up and do what I say. Get the money out. Stay cool. Nobody gets hurt. Take the money out. All of it. Don't stall me, fat boy. Let's go. Come on. You're wasting my time now. Come on. Come on. Anybody move, I'll blow your fucking head off. What are you looking at, buddy? Come on! Stop stalling!
Akeem slowly reaches for his mop.
Come on! Don't stall me! All of it!
Semi watches Akeem unscrewing the mop handle.
Come on, come on!
Excuse me for a moment. It would be wise for you to put the weapon down.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
Please refrain from using any further obscenities in the presence of these people.
What?
I've warned you. I'll be forced to thrash you.
Fuck you!
Akeem swipes the gun out of his hand with the mop handle. Semi jumps over the counter to help him.
Freeze, you diseased rhinoceros pizzle.
The robber lies on his back on the floor. Akeem and Semi stand commandingly over him. He surrenders. Daryl cowers by the counter as Lisa looks on with surprise and admiration. Later, Akeem and Semi empty bins outside.
Hey, fellas. Gotta tell you, I'm real proud of the job you did in there today.
You know, we've been hit by that guy 5 times. But I got a feeling he won't be coming back. Thanks to my African connection. Say, leave Sunday night open. I'm having a little get-together at my house.
You see? It is working. He has accepted us as equals.
Outside McDowell's house.
Okay, fellas. Just give him a ticket.
Take the keys. Park the cars down the street. When you get finished, come inside and help out in the kitchen. Akeem, I want you to come with me. I want to show you the inside of McDowell's little castle.
Delighted, Akeem goes with Mr. McDowell into his impressive house.
Well, this here is my show place. I think it pretty much speaks for itself. You know something, Akeem? When I was growing up, 9 of us lived in a shack no bigger than this room. And look what I have today. I only wish Mrs. McDowell could have lived to see it.
You have a fine house, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, in 20 or 30 years with hard work, maybe you could have a place like this for yourself.
That would be something.
Wouldn't it? Well, this is where you're going to be working tonight.
At the bar, a train runs along the counter carrying glasses.
Ever open a champagne bottle?
I have seen it done before.
Good. Make sure you keep all the glasses full. I better get dressed for this party. Look around, make yourself comfortable till the guests arrive.
Hey, you see, I love the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? I love the Lord. And if loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Hey, Mike. Hey, good to see you. Glad you could make it. Enjoy, drink up, lots more where that came from. Hey, Randy, how's everything, buddy? Good to see you. Watch out for this guy.
Big ass, my man!
You know, I can appreciate the way you handled that dude with the gun. I would have helped you out myself, except, well, I had a cup of coffee in my hand. You understand, right? I bet you learned all that stuff fighting lions and tigers and shit.
Yes. Yes, where I'm from, we have to be very aggressive.
You know, I'm all for that. Especially with women. You know, they may not admit it, but they all want a man to take charge.
Daryl and Akeem look over to Lisa.
Tell them what to do.
Daryl knocks back his drink and makes his way over to Mr. McDowell.
Now, that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. Daryl, I must tell you, your mother gets lovelier every time I see her.
Cleo, I'd like to talk to you alone for a minute.
Sure, Daryl. Excuse us.
Mom, Dad, Grandma.
Sure, son.
You know, actually, I like the fries better at McDonald's, but I'd never tell Mr. McDowell that.
Akeem, make sure everybody's glass is kept full. We're about to make a very special announcement.
Yes, sir.
I have everyone's attention, please. Mr. and Mrs. Jenks, would you please join me? And Mother Jenks, you come up here, too.
Daryl's family members get up from the sofa, leaving behind 3 circular stains from the soul glow in their hair.
I've just heard some news that makes me a very happy man. Simi, please. Champagne.
Thank you.
Okay, go on, get out of here. Go on. Now, as you all know, Daryl and Lisa have been going together for quite some time. Well, I'm pleased to announce that just a few moments ago, Daryl here popped the big question. And Lisa happily accepted.
Outraged, Lisa glares at Daryl. Akeem and Semi look dumbfounded.
So as it turns out, this has become an engagement party. Huh?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Married.
To the bride and groom.
To the bride and groom.
To the bride and groom.
Semi discreetly swigs the champagne from the glasses on his tray.
I want you and that young man to tie that knot. I'm gonna pray for you. And I want you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he helped Joshua fight the Battle of Jericho. Yes. He helped Daniel get out the lion's den. He helped Gilligan get off the island. Lord.
I want to talk to you now. Next
next time you and my father decide to get together to plan my life, I wish you'd let me in on it.
It's not like...
Don't touch me.
But, baby, it's our engagement party.
Lisa sits on a swing in the garden. Akeem drapes a jacket across her shoulders.
Thanks.
Would you like some champagne?
No, thanks. I really don't feel like celebrating. Wait. Sit down and keep me company.
He places the champagne and glasses on the ground and perches bolt upright on the swing next to Lisa.
If you're gonna hang out with me, you gotta loosen up, Akeem.
Oh, I can be loose. See?
Much better.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm just not gonna be pressured into marriage, not by Daryl, or my father, or anybody.
I understand completely. In my country, they arrange many marriages, and I don't feel anyone should get married out of obligation.
You're right. I mean, how could I have even considered marrying a guy like Daryl?
I wondered the same thing.
He just made me so furious back there. You don't think I overreacted, do you?
The first reaction is usually the correct one.
You know, you're very easy to talk to. I feel like I could tell you anything. Hey, Akeem, we need some more champagne over here.
I almost forgot that I was here in a domestic capacity.
Well, thanks for listening to me, Akeem. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Lisa McDowell.
Hey, be careful. I think my sister likes you.
In their apartment, Semi's asleep in bed.
Semi! Semi! Come now, my friend. You're going to be late for work.
So what if I am?
Semi, we cannot afford to anger Mr. McDowell now, especially since things are going so well with Lisa.
I do not care. I'm not going to work today.
Yes, you are going to work today.
I'm sick of living like a peasant. Look at this filth.
You want to live better? Fine. Fix this place up. But you are going to work today.
At work, Akeem mops the kitchen floor as Semi empties a large pan of water in a sink. Their colleague washes lettuce.
Hello.
Hi. You know, I started on cleanup just like you guys, but now... See, I'm washing lettuce. Soon I'll be on fries, then the grill. A year or two, I make assistant manager. And that's where the big bucks start rolling in.
Just 2 years, eh?
Lisa and Akeem leave the restaurant together.
Maybe I've stayed with him because everyone expected me to. You know what I mean? You must be tired of hearing about my problems with Daryl.
Oh, no, not at all.
You know, I feel like I owe you a favor. Why don't you come to my house and I'll fix you dinner? Patrice will be there.
Let us go to my house.
Why?
Well, I'd like to cook for you.
You cook?
I dabble a little, yes.
Great. Tell you what, I'll buy the groceries.
Fine. But I have to warn you. My home is very poor.
I don't care about that. I'd love to see where you live.
Smiling, they head off along the snow-lined street together at Akeem's shabby apartment block.
Welcome to my humble abode.
Semi has redecorated the apartment.
Akeem!
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. Excuse me for a moment, please. What have you done?
You told me to fix up the place.
I should kill you.
Why?
I'm supposed to be a poor man.
Akeem? Akeem?
everything all right?
Everything is fine. Excuse me, I have to tidy up.
Semi sits drinking in a hot tub.
Hey, you smoke. Da-da, da-da. Take care of your lungs. They're only human.
The American.
What are you doing? For God's sake, Akeem, do not take my pocket money.
He puts the money in a McDowell's takeaway bag and tucks it in his pocket.
If you have no more money, you can cause no more mischief.
You are being unreasonable.
If you have ruined my chances with Lisa, I will never forgive you.
Semi sulks.
I am very sorry.
Can we go in now?
Oh, no, we cannot.
Why not?
There is a rat, a big rat inside.
You know what I think? I think there is no rat. I think you're just so ashamed of your apartment, you can't even let me see it.
Once again, you have judged correctly.
If it bothers you that much, we can go out to eat.
That would be much better.
Relaxed in each other's company, Akeem and Lisa walk happily along the snow-covered banks of a river. The city lights sparkle against the dark winter's night around them. Akeem approaches an old homeless man sleeping rough amongst a pile of junk and cardboard boxes. He places the McDowell's bag full of Semi's pocket money on the man's lap.
Excuse me for a moment, please.
What did you give him?
Oh, I just gave him some pocket change.
The old man curiously opens up the paper bag and to his amazement pulls out a huge wad of dollars. He runs his fingers across the top of the notes as if attempting to calculate the vast sum of money just bestowed to him.
Randolph! Leave me alone, Mortimer! Randolph! Randolph! I'm still not talking to you. Look. Mortimer, we're back.
To America.
Akeem and Lisa sit by a window in a restaurant.
Why'd you come here?
To find something special.
It's an awfully long way to travel.
Well, no journey is too great when one finds what he seeks.
Does everyone in Africa talk like you?
Why, do you not like it?
No, I love it. It's nice to be with a man who knows how to express himself.
Thank you!
Thank you very much!
Let's have lunch!
You have the most amazing effect on people.
No, I don't.
It's true. Look at that guy at the basketball game the other day. People love you. I bet where you're from, women practically throw themselves at your feet.
Why do you say that?
Because you have a kind of inner glow, like you're above anything petty. It's almost regal. So, what'd you do back home?
Back home, I was in the family business back home.
What's that?
Goat herding. Yes, yes.
Really?
Yes, does it surprise you?
No, it's just that you seem so educated.
Well, the life of a goat herder is not that demanding. The goats pretty much take care of themselves, which leaves a man with a great deal of time to read.
Please, let me.
No, it is not right, I should pay.
Akeem, we should stop worrying about being poor. If I wanted a wealthy guy, I'd be with Daryl. Not you.
Would you like to dance?
Rising from the table, Akeem takes Lisa gently by the hand and leads her over to a raised platform by a jukebox where they dance alone. He wraps his arms around her slender waist and holds her up close. She positions her arms around his neck and softly nestles her head into his shoulder.
What about Patrice?
I am not interested in Patrice.
What about Daryl?
I am not interested in Daryl either.
Gazing lovingly into each other's eyes, they start to kiss softly and tenderly. Semi at a counter in a bank.
You actually want to send this?
Why? What is wrong? Read it to me.
To His Majesty King Joffrey Joffer, the Royal Palace, Zamunda. Sire, Akeem and I have depleted our funds. Kindly send $300,000 immediately, as we are in dire straits. Your humble servant, Semi.
Simi.
Semi.
Should I make it $400,000?
You think that'd be enough?
You are right. $500,000.
As long as you ask him, why don't we go for a cool million?
You do not think that would be too much?
Nah.
Semi arrives home to find Patrice in his apartment.
Okay, what's going on?
Patrice.
I came to see Akeem. What are you two involved in? You can't afford all this stuff on your salary.
Akeem walking home.
Someone to kiss, someone to miss. When you're away through here, college day. To be loved, wow, what a feeling. To be loved,
hey, keep quiet,
some wish to be a king or a queen. Some wish for fortune and fame, but to be truly, 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 truly loved is more than all of these things. Wow, someone to care. Someone to share lonely hours and moments of despair. To be loved, to be loved. Whoa, what a feeling. To be...
Semi, I just had the most wonderful...
Semi and Patrice canoodle on the waterbed.
Oh, hi, Akeem. Semi told me everything. Sorry things didn't work out between you and me, but you understand. Good night. Prince.
Remember, you must not tell a soul.
Your secret is safe with me, Your Highness. Bye.
Semi looks sheepish.
If you're the prince, then who am I?
My servant?
In the offices at the restaurant, Mr. McDowell positions a colourful flower arrangement on top of the photocopier.
Boy, they smell good. That Daryl must be spending a fortune on flowers, huh?
Stay out of this, Dad.
Where are you going?
To a museum with Akeem.
No, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit.
What's wrong with Akeem?
Lisa, you told me yourself. He's a goat herder. Why don't you marry Daryl? Dresses real nice, treats you real good.
You only like Daryl because he's rich.
Lisa, I just don't want you to have to struggle the way your mother and I did.
I know. Bye, Daddy.
Bye.
Come in. You boys wanted to see me?
Yes, Mr. Townsend. We would like to change apartment.
God damn, now what the hell you boys done in here?
My friend Simi has altered the apartment, and we would like to exchange it for another.
This stuff ain't hot, is it?
Oh, of course not, sir. It's just that I'm going to bring a young lady up, and I cannot let her see me living like this.
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna let you boys stay in my apartment, and I'll move up here.
Does your apartment look poor?
Yeah, it's a real shithole. You'll love it. Here are the keys. It's apartment 1A. Downstairs, first floor.
Thank you. You are too kind. Simi, Move our things.
Akeem to two young girls sitting outside his apartment block.
I have a date with Lisa! Isn't that wonderful?
The girls stare vacantly at him. Turning the corner into Akeem's street appears a convoy of three black Mercedes cars. One flies the Zamunda flag. They are flanked by police motorcycle escorts. Pulling up outside the apartment block, undercover police carrying walkie-talkies hurriedly survey the area. Ohar, the Rose Bearers and the Queen step out of the cars. A scruffily dressed elderly woman watches in astonishment from a doorway. Ohar opens the car door for the King as the four Rose Bearers scatter petals onto the snow-covered ground. The King steps out of the car wearing a lion skin draped across his shoulder. He looks around at the poverty of the surrounding area in bewilderment. Shop.
Who in the hell is that?
Ohar leads the royal party into the shop. The two barbers, on seeing the beautiful Rose Bearers, smile approvingly at each other.
Hey, what's up, brother? You're a little late for the Christmas pageant.
I'm King Joffrey Joffer, ruler of Zamunda.
Yeah, we'll have a seat. Chair number two will be ready in a second.
This is beautiful. What is that, velvet?
I have come for my son, Akeem.
Come for who?
You know, Kunta from up... Kunta.
Oh, yeah, the boy upstairs. Oh, yeah, him. He around here someplace. He live upstairs on the fifth floor. Hey, who gonna clean up all these flowers?
In the corridor outside Akeem's old apartment.
You may enter.
You are not Akeem.
I know that.
On the wall, the King notices a framed certificate with Akeem's photograph on it for McDowell's Employee of the Month.
What is this?
A photograph.
What is this? McDowell's.
It's a place over on Queens Boulevard. I think he works there.
My son works? What is he now?
I don't know. He moved downstairs. Apartment 1A.
Your Majesty, what are you doing here?
I received your telegram. What is Akeem?
He went out. So how was your flight? Comfortable, I trust?
Your only job was to look after Akeem. How could you let him come to such a pass?
Akeem will not listen to me. He's gone quite mad, Your Majesty.
Sammy, you have disgraced yourself, and you must be punished. You will confine yourself to our royal suite at the Waldorf Astoria. And see that he puts on some decent attire. And I want you to bathe him thoroughly.
Oh, thank you, Your Majesty.
A tribal mask in the museum.
Oh, look, Zamunda. That's where you're from, isn't it?
Yes.
What's it like?
Oh, you would love it there. It's the most beautiful place on earth. The people are very friendly. And you they would treat like a queen.
He swiftly maneuvers Lisa away from a photograph of him on the wall.
People are gonna see us.
Then let them see. Lisa, let us go.
Now?
Yes, right now.
The royal convoy travels across a bridge in New York. Mr. McDowell speaks on a hamburger-shaped phone in his office.
Yeah, well, look, Daryl.
Why don't you come by the house tonight? Yeah, about 9 o'clock. Lisa will be home by then. Yeah, look, don't worry about it, buddy. We'll work something out. Okay. See you later.
Mr. McDowell?
Yeah.
There's some people here to see you.
They're not from McDonald's, are they?
I don't think so.
The royal group stand before Mr. McDowell at the food counter.
What can I do for you?
Oh, huh?
This is King Joffe Joffer, ruler of Zamunda. He is searching for his son, Akeem.
Your son?
Yes, my son, the prince.
A prince? Are you serious?
Prince Akeem is the sole heir to the throne of Zamunda.
I always knew there was something special about that boy.
Can you tell us where he might be?
Oh, yes, he's out with my lovely daughter, Lisa.
I'm staying at the Waldorf Astoria. When you see him, call me.
I'll tell him you're here.
No, do not alert him to my presence. I shall deal with him myself.
Ohar slides money over the counter.
For your trouble.
Oh, thank you, your royalness.
He stares at the £100 note with Akeem's picture on it.
A prince!
Nighttime. A yellow cab containing Akeem and Lisa pulls up outside his apartment block. Getting out of the cab, Akeem sees a rose petal path leading up the steps into the apartment block.
Wait.
What?
We cannot go in.
Why not?
Wait in the car. I will be right back.
Leaving Lisa looking confused, Akeem rushes into the building. Pinned to his apartment door is a note from Semi saying, Akeem, I have gone to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel.
We must leave.
I don't care about the apartment.
It's not that. It's just that I feel like I'm rushing you.
No, you're not.
It's better if we take our time.
But I want to.
It's better if I take you home.
Who's here? Akeem! It's good to see you.
It is good to see you too, sir.
Come on inside. Have a little drink.
Well, I have to get going, Mr. McDowell.
Oh, no. Now, you got time for one drink. Have a seat. Get out of here, dog. You know, you and I, we don't spend enough time talking.
Well, perhaps some other time, sir. I really have to get going.
Oh, no. Sit down. I'll be right back with that drink.
Akeem looks at Lisa bemused. She shrugs her shoulders.
King Jaffe Joffre's room, please. Yeah, hello, King. Yeah, Cleo McDowell here. Yeah, King, both the kids are here, together. Right, 2432 Derby Avenue, Jamaica Estates. Right. Now, King, I was wondering if... Hello, King?
Oh, I really have to go, sir.
Oh, no. Have a seat, right here. Look, did you want ice in that? Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Mr. McDowell hurries to the front door. Opening the door, he sees a smiling Daryl standing before him holding a large bunch of flowers. Mr. McDowell slams the door in his face and scuttles back to the lounge.
Well, who was there?
Jehovah's Witness. Excuse me.
Akeem, Lisa, and the dog watch his erratic behavior with curiosity.
Look, the girl doesn't like you anymore. Can't you get that through your greasy head?
But you told me to come over and...
Now, where were we?
Mr. McDowell frantically heads for the door again, tripping up a small flight of stairs as he goes.
I warned you, didn't I? Dottie, get him!
Sir, I really appreciate your hospitality, but I have to get going.
Oh, no. You can stay a little while longer. I just put some delicious hors d'oeuvres in the oven, son. Let me go see if they're ready.
Lisa, I must leave.
Is something wrong, Akeem?
I promise I will tell you when the time is right. But now I must go. Tell your father goodbye for me.
Where's Akeem?
He said he had to leave.
Well, he can't leave!
What is going on? And why are you being so nice to Akeem all of a sudden?
I like the boy.
What are you up to?
What? Nothing. Hey, a man's got a right to change his mind, doesn't he?
Daddy.
You know, you two make a beautiful couple, Lisa.
Daddy.
He's a real fine young man.
Dad!
Okay, Lisa. He's rich. He is rich!
What?
He's got his own money. And baby, when I tell you he's got his own money, I mean the boy has got his own money!
He reaches into his pocket, pulling out the £100 note for Lisa's inspection. She's shocked and confused.
A prince! He's a prince! Oh, Lisa, you did it this time! You hit the jackpot! Your little goat herder makes Darryl look like a welfare case.
A solemn-faced Lisa stares out of a rain-lashed window. Akeem's in a taxi cab, stuck in traffic.
I will get out here.
That'll be $9.
He gets out of the cab into the torrential rain. Pulling up his hood, he starts to weave his way through the gridlocked traffic. Inside his room in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, Semi is being bathed by a beautiful servant girl.
Semi!
Good news, Akeem. We've been rescued.
Where are my parents?
They've gone to the McDowell's house to look for you.
Come with me.
Where are we going?
Back to Queens.
Wow, look who's here. Come in, come in. Welcome to Casa de McDowell. Just come right in.
Where is Akeem?
He just stepped out. Probably went for a pizza. Hey, you know these youngsters. Well, this must be your lovely wife. How are you today?
Oh, very well, thank you.
I don't know whether to shake your hand or kiss it or bow or what. I feel like breakdancing. Come in, have a seat. Take a load off. Come on. Your son ought to be back in a minute. Yeah, sit down. Here, try the Lazy Boy. It's real comfortable.
It is very nice.
Yeah, put your feet up.
The Queen is ungracefully lunged back into the reclining chair.
Here you go, King. Try one of these little pigs in the blanket. Now, they're the frozen kind, but you never know.
You told me my son was here.
You know, my daughter Lisa might know where he went. Akeem and Lisa have gotten quite close.
Where is your daughter? I must speak to her at once.
Lisa? There's someone here to see you, sweetheart.
Lisa lies on her bed reading.
This is Akeem's father. The king!
Leave us.
She gets up from her bed and stands face to face with the king.
I understand you're seeing my son.
I was seeing him.
Then he must have told you about his wife in Zamunda.
He's married?
No, but he will be soon. We've already chosen his bride. So you see, he could not be at all serious about you. Akeem came to America to sow his royal oats.
Excuse me, I need to be alone for a moment.
Are you comfortable, Miss? I'm not sure what to call you. My name's Cleo.
It is very nice to meet you, Cleo. My name is Aeolion.
Aeolion. Aeolion. Lisa. Where are you going? I want you to meet the Queen.
Are you all right, my dear?
I'm sorry. I have to get out of here.
What's the matter, baby? What'd you say to my daughter?
I told her the truth, that Akeem could not be interested in her.
How can you be so sure?
Oh, come now. Our son cannot consort with such a girl.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Oh, huh? I know you have been inconvenienced, and I'm prepared to compensate you. Shall we say $1 million?
No way.
Very well, then, $2 million.
You haven't got enough money to buy my daughter off.
Nonsense.
Joffrey, apologize to Mr. McDowell.
I will do no such thing. The man is beneath me, and so is his daughter.
I don't give a damn who you are. This is America, Jack. Now, you say one more word about Lisa here, and I'm gonna break my foot off in your royal ass.
Pardon me?
What's everybody yelling about?
Their son, the prince, is in love with your sister, but the king here, he can't handle it.
No, he's not. The prince is in love with me.
Akeem and Semi enter the house.
Are you all right?
Yes, Mother, I am fine.
Why are you hugging him? He's just the servant. He's the prince.
Who told you that?
Everyone turns to look at Semi with inquiring eyes. With the focus of attention on him, he looks uncomfortable and distinctly guilty.
You mean Akeem's the prince?
Yeah, and he's in love with Lisa.
How come she always gets the good ones?
Where is Lisa?
Your daddy here just ran her off.
What did you tell her?
It is of no consequence. We shall return to Zamunda at once.
I will not leave without Lisa.
So you do care for her?
Mother, I love her.
Then go after her.
He kisses his mother on the forehead and sets off to find Lisa.
Akeem! Akeem! I forbid you!
Put a sock in it, Joffrey. The boy is in love.
In the pouring rain on Queen's Boulevard, a distraught Lisa hurriedly races along the pavement. Patrice in her bedroom lies face down on her bed.
Daryl, what happened?
Lisa dumped me.
Oh, I know. Poor thing. The first thing we have to do is get you out of these wet clothes.
Stop! Lisa! Lisa!
A furious Lisa scowls at Akeem, then quickly heads down into the subway.
I will be fine by myself.
In his pursuit of Lisa, Akeem crosses the road to the subway entrance, leaving Ohar standing underneath an umbrella by the royal car. Inside the tube station, Akeem unsuccessfully attempts to push through the barrier without a ticket. Undeterred, he hurdles the barrier. He runs after Lisa down a flight of steps to the platform and just catches the same graffiti-covered tube that Lisa has already boarded. Making his way through the busy carriage, he finally catches up with her.
Mean to hurt you.
Well, at least I know who gave me these. Well, you can keep them, because I don't want them, and I don't want you.
Furious, she takes off her earrings and throws them at Akeem. Turning her back on him, she opens the interconnecting doors to the next carriage, slamming them shut behind her. Akeem relentlessly follows her through the next carriage.
Lisa! Lisa!
Look, just leave me alone.
Lisa, please. I love you.
What about the woman you're supposed to marry?
I do not love her. Why do you think I came to America?
Oh, your father told me to sow your royal oats.
Oh, no. I came to America to find my bride. I came to Queens to find you.
So why did you lie to me then? Why didn't you just tell me you were a prince?
Because I wanted you to love me for who I am.
I'm not sure who you are.
I'm the man you fell in love with. Should it matter that I'm a prince?
Intrigued, passengers eavesdrop on their conversation.
It shouldn't, but I...
Just tell me you didn't love me when you thought I was a goat herder. And I will never bother you again.
The passengers eagerly await her response. Lisa rolls her eyes to the ceiling.
It just wouldn't work out. We're too different. You're royalty, for God's sake.
You want me to renounce my throne? I will.
From this moment on, I renounce my throne. I am no longer the Prince of Zamunda. I renounce my throne!
Does this make you happy?
Seeking approval, Lisa looks around at the faces of the passengers. A friendly-faced, elderly black lady gives her a little nod.
Can't let you do that.
I do not care about my crown. All I care about is you. Marry me, Lisa.
One passenger to another.
So what do you think?
Go on, honey. Take a chance.
Lisa contemplates the lady's advice. She stares sadly into Akeem's eyes as the train pulls in at the next station. The doors open up behind her.
Look, I'm sorry, I can't. Goodbye, Akeem.
Lisa disappears out of the train. Akeem sadly watches her go. The friendly, elderly passenger.
If you're really a prince, I'll marry you.
Akeem gently takes the lady's hand, where he places the ruby and diamond earrings. He folds her fingers back over the jewels. Unraveling her fingers, she delights at his generous gift. She smiles broadly at him. The doors of the tube close, separating them. Akeem disappears on the tube as the lady on the platform silently watches her prince disappear into the night. Outside the impressive Waldorf Astoria Hotel, a large Zamunda flag flies proud above the main entrance. A fleet of royal cars are lined up in front of the hotel doors, awaiting the royal dignitaries. Security guards stand in position, ready for the King and Queen's departure. Akeem and Semi are already seated patiently within one of the cars.
At least we learned how to make French fries.
With the royal party safely located within a three-car convoy, they are ready to leave. Two police motorcyclists lead the cars away from the hotel along the busy, bustling streets of New York. Another two police bikes follow on behind.
You're still not speaking to me.
I only want our son to be happy.
And so do I. Aeolian, please. It is out of our hands. The girl told him no.
Well, after the way you treated her, who could blame her?
Even if she said yes, they still could not marry. It is against the tradition.
Well, it is a stupid tradition.
Who am I to change it?
I thought you were the king.
The king glares at his wife, lost for words. At the palace in Zamunda, guests gather in a chapel ready for the wedding of Prince Akeem. The king sits on his throne. The queen stands by his side. Akeem waits tentatively by the altar with Semi, his back turned to the congregation. His bride-to-be approaches the altar alone. She's dressed from head to toe in a flamboyant pale pink gown with an extravagantly long train. She wears a veil over her face. As his bride reaches his side, he unenthusiastically turns to her and folds back her veil. To his amazement and delight, Lisa stands before him. After a moment of shock and relief, he smiles ecstatically at his parents. Mr. McDowell joins the King and Queen, and the three parents look on with pride. Akeem lovingly wraps his arms around Lisa and kisses her passionately. Oha.
Your Highness, we have not come to that part yet. Your Highness, Your
Outside the palace, Lisa and Akeem are whisked away in a horse-drawn carriage, their families and the adoring guests waving and cheering them on. Semi sidles up to a beautiful young woman and whispers into her ear. Her eyes light up and she smiles coyly at him.
Would you really have given up all of this just for me?
Of course. If you like, we can give it all up now.
Nah.
Audio described on behalf of MCS Agency by Penelope Parisi. Final scene to follow after the credits.
Man goes into a restaurant. You listening? A man goes into a restaurant. He sits down. He's having a bowl of soup. He says to the waiter, "Waiter, come, taste the soup." Waiter says, "Is there something wrong with the soup?" He says, "Taste the soup." He says, "Is there something wrong with the soup? Is the soup too hot?" He says, "Will you taste the soup? It's wrong. Is the soup too cold? Will you just taste the soup?" "All right, I'll taste the soup. Where's the spoon?" "Aha. Aha. What do you know from funny, you bastard?"
The end.
Can you see I'm coming to America, America, America? Everyone in the world, oh, yeah, is coming to the U.S. Oh, I say.